Welcome to the Master Life class. Let's start the class with a prayer. Father, thank you for gathering us in this class to learn how to follow Jesus, how to be a disciple. I thank you for all the blessings and internal workings of the Holy Spirit inside all the brothers and sisters who are participating in this training program. I give you praise and thanks and ask for your continued guidance for the weeks that follow today, that all of us can complete the course. And with such a completion, enhance and improve our relationship with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me do some review of what we learned today. First, let me emphasize this, the concept of discipleship. First, who is a disciple? A disciple is a person who follows Jesus, not someone who learns some techniques or get some kind of training, but a person who follows Jesus. Discipleship, the simple definition of discipleship, the purpose of discipleship is to live a Christ-centered life. So by going through Master Life discipleship, if you feel yourself are getting more and more living a Christ-centered life, then you are on the right track, because that's the purpose you are going through all of this. And please mark your calendar. We'll have a prayer workshop on October 1st, that's Saturday, from 8 to 12 for 4 hours. So be at church on time. We'll start a meeting here on the second floor. Then we have a scripture test on October 2nd. Sunday is our class time. You'll be tested on your Bible knowledge and your Master Life verses. Okay. And a homework evaluation. Starting from last Sunday, you receive a homework evaluation form. You're going to have 10 total of them. And it asks you to evaluate yourself. So it's an honor system. You grade yourself. Make sure you read through and complete the daily activities. If you read through them and you try to complete all the exercise as the best you can, then that's one day done. If you take 5 days, then you write down 5. If you just flip through them, you put a 0 there. You flip through 3 days, you do 2 days, you put 2. It's an honor system. Follow the instruction Yishen sent you and be honest. We do this in front of God. Same thing goes to a quiet time and other evaluation. You do 1 day, put a 1. You do 2 days, put 2. You didn't do any day, put a 0. Okay. And the book we are in is Disciples Victory. Let me give you the weekly titles. We are on week 4. We've learned week 1, overcoming the enemy, who is the Satan. And we learned strongholds in that week. Week 2, truth and faith. Okay. Faith is based on truth, which is the Word of God. Week 3, rely on God's Word. We especially learn from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. It's good for instruction, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Last week, we learned how to pray in faith. Then, this coming week, look to Jesus. Finally, stand victorious. And these are the topics you just went through last week, so I won't be going through them. As a result of last week's study, you should be able to first identify occasions when you have linked prayer and God's Word. When you put a basis to your prayer, you know you are claiming God's promise in your prayer. Secondly, list the 3 stages in making a covenant with God. By now you should know why the book called the prayer list, prayer covenant. list. Why the covenant, the word covenant is there. You should understand that by now. Number three, list the six steps in praying in faith. Four, select a problem or a need about which you want to pray in faith. Okay, let's do more reviewing. Three stages in making a covenant with God. Number one, God reveals His will and makes a promise to you. So that's from His word. Number two, stage two, you meet condition God established. All the covenant has a condition. It's conditional promise. You have to meet conditions in order to claim that promise. Number three, you believe in God and receive the blessings. Okay, the purpose of the covenant is for God to bless you. So these are the three stages in making a covenant with God. Let's go to the next step. Six steps for praying in faith. It's broken down in two parts. First part is God communicates truth to you. Number one, abide in Christ. Okay. Number two, abide in the Word. Number three, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in truth. You should notice that all the 1, 2, 3 start with the letter A. So you actually get six A's. I think the author makes it easy for us to remember that. So God communicates truth to you, but you have to first abide in Christ. Make sure you are closely following Him. Abide in the Word. So you have God's Word inside of you, and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in truth. The second part is you communicate faith to God. So number four, ask according to God's will. Accept God's will in faith and act on the basis of God's word to you. If you carefully read through the book, steps 4, 5, 6 ask you to know what God is saying to you. Maybe one day you're reading your Bible according to your schedule, and all of a sudden one verse or one word just jump out from the page, and that word grab you. And it says in the book that's the Holy Spirit moving your heart, and that's God speaking to you. You should grab that word as a promise from God and accept in faith and pray prayers according to God's word, that special word or verses that you claim. And our author give you several examples. Brother Avery Willis, in this and that situation, how he received a word from God and how that helped him. For me personally, this is the only one part of the whole Master Life training for myself personally. I want to strongly recommend to all Christians to do so. It's more of a mystic way of exercise faith, because you read your Bible, you didn't just flip the pages and put your finger to a certain verse, but I have this schedule, I'm reading Matthew, today is chapter 20, and all of a sudden this verse touched my heart, grabbed me, and this must be God's will for me. I myself find it a little bit dangerous. As a pastor, a shepherd to the whole congregation, I have some kind of reservation that if all the Christians do this, Many times they'll find themselves in some kind of uncertainty. They don't know, they cannot know for sure if the verse he or she just grabbed is the will of God. So I have my reservation on this part, and now I'm going to give you my steps to you as a second option. Okay. So you can see, so the following is, okay, this is just a summary of the six steps of praying faith according to Avery Willis, the Master Life author. And let me give you my option. Okay, you can take it as a reference of knowing God. Master Life has this one sentence: your greatest concern as a Christian disciple is to find and do God's will. I wholeheartedly agree with this statement. That for most of us Christians, the difficult part is how to find God's will. And we sincerely like to know what's God's will for me. And so let me introduce my steps. First, there's the basis of knowing God's will. Let me just go through the title. There are four things we need to have as to form the basis of knowing God's will. That's saying you should have this as a constant state, not just all of a sudden it happened. But in your Christian life, you have these four elements as a constant state, then you have the basis to know God's will. The four elements are, first, you have an active faith. It's a genuine, real, active faith. Second, you have an obedient heart. I will explain this to you. But Jesus said, if you truly are obedient to God, God, no matter what your will is, I will do it, then you will know His will. If you have a reservation, then you probably won't. Third is an internalized word. That's Jesus' promise. If you live in me and my word live in you, ask whatever, I will do it. So it's an internalized word. And the fourth element is a mature judgment. This is according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. I myself experiences many times I can use just my common sense to know God's will. If I live in Him and I have this kind of relationship with Him, many times I don't even have to pray particularly for a situation. Just inside of me, using my common sense judgment, I know this must be with God's will. So I think these four elements, if you have active faith, obedient heart, internalized word, and a mature judgment, you form the basis of knowing God's will. But there are three conditions of knowing God's will. I have three elements under this part. First is the prompting of the Spirit. For something or sometime, you have the prompting of the Spirit. You feel especially touched by certain things, you feel a strong call from God to do something. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then, according to the Bible's teaching, you need to have the agreement of the church. The brothers and sisters who worship and serve with you, they will have a say in your decision of what's God's will. You pray with them, and they will confirm or not confirm your decision, and they will tell you if they feel the same as you feel. First, the last one is open doors. If God's will is for you, many times he will open the doors. Let me do a little bit explanation of what I mean of these seven steps. First is the active faith. Says in Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, "For we live by faith, not by sight." And that's how I operate. Not by sight, but faith. I know my faith is living, active, genuine faith. I trust in God. And it says in the book of James chapter 1, "When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubt is like wave in the of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." So, ask yourself if you have an active faith. Then you have an obedient heart. "I choose to do God's will no matter what." Says in John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said, "Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out." If you choose to do the will of God, will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Jesus was talking to the audience of his teaching. If any person who chooses to do the will of God will know if this is from God. So if you have an obedient heart, and I give you three choices, which one of the following will know God's will? First, you say, "Lord, I'm willing to be whatever you want me to be, as long as it's not a missionary." Will this person know the will of God? Second, "Lord, I'm willing to be a missionary, as long as it's in the United States." Okay, will this person know the will of God? Third, "Lord, I'm here, send me. I don't have as long as, just send me." So which person will know the will of God? It's the third one. He chose to do the will of God no matter what. And if you have an obedient heart, you will know the will of God. If you have reservation there, then you're going to have a very hard time to know the will of God. And this you have learned through Master Life already. It's the internalized word. Okay? I have a good storage of God's word inside of me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's according to Jesus. So if you have a good storage of God's word inside of you, the word lives in you, remains in you, it's internalized, then you have a basis of knowing God's will. Then we have this mature judgment. "My sins are mature enough to make sound judgment." This is according to Hebrews chapter 5, 14. "But solitude is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and well." You will know what is good, good and evil. What is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, what to do in most of situations. I would say maybe 80% in your Christian experience, you will be able to use your common sense, your mature judgment, and you know it's in accordance with God's will. You don't have to pray every day in the mornings asking God what to do. Okay, if you have these four elements, you have the basis of knowing God's will. Let me give you number five, is the prompting of the Spirit. I'm quoting Acts chapter 13, 2. You know the story. The Corinth church sent out Paul and Silas as missionaries. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul." Okay, it's Saul and Barnabas. "For the work to which I have called them." So there's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was talking to the church. Tell them to send out two servants of God. And you have Jesus' own story. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit, prompting of the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So if inside of you, you feel you are grabbed by something, you are called to do something, you may start considering God is asking to do something. It's the will of God. Then you have the agreement of the church. We Christians, we never do things just all by ourselves, alone. God give us brothers and sisters, give us a church. So there has to be the agreement of the church. The famous Jerusalem meeting shows this principle. Even Paul, the apostle, has to go to Jerusalem, ask the apostles there, and have gained the agreement of the church in order to continue to do what he's doing. Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose this person and that, and the following, you know, the Apostle James that time also wrote a letter to go to all the churches that time. So there's some brothers and sisters from the church, they pray with you, and you have their consensus. Finally, open doors. I'm sensitive to the doors God has opened for me. This is according to Paul in Romans chapter 1:10. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. He's talking to the people in Rome, the Church of Rome. He said, maybe by God's will, the way may be opened. If you are sensitive to what God has opened, the door or the way, then you know probably that's God's will for me to go there, do this. Maybe the door God opened is not exactly what you wish for. Maybe your wish is this, but God opened the way. It doesn't like the things you wish for, but that, nevertheless, it's opened the door. It's opened the way, and you are willing to follow. And that's what happened in the old time, and that's what happened now. So I just introduced to you my option for knowing God's will, and you have every will is option in the master life. All right. Okay, we are doing a summer review of this. You need to remember this hand diagram and all the elements inside of it. Okay. You have this heart, H-E-A-R-T. Okay. And you have the Bible verses. By last week, you should be able to assign Bible verses to different part of that hand illustration. Okay. Okay, so under here, you have Mark 4:23 and Romans 10:17. Belief comes from hearing. You should take some time to go through all the verses for your own good, so you know why the verses is there. Okay, you are not required to memorize all of them, but you need to be familiar with them. And the next one, this is pretty much the same. But I give you I put some Chinese word on it. Okay. I use six Chinese words from human parts to help people to memorize the hand illustration more easily. Ting, use your ear to hear. Mu shen, use your eyes to examine. Shou cha, use your hand to analyze. Nao ji, use your brain to remember. Xing xiang, use your heart to think, to meditate. Zhang wo, use your palm to grab or to apply. So with this, I hope that will help you to memorize this diagram. It's a very useful one. You need to, like I mentioned, the verses, you need to be familiar with them. Okay. Let me give you the armors review. For the purpose of helping you to memorize the spiritual armor more easily, I wrote the words in red, put on something to help you know why the author asked you to do this and that. So he only asked you to thank God that you are his child. So I put on your identity. You are God's child. We are putting on the spiritual armor. And the author says, praise God for your eternal life. And I add, put on your assurance. And then the author says, claim the mind of Christ. I say, put on the mind of Christ. So we put on something. The helmet that deals with your mind. Okay. And the breastplate of righteousness. Put on a heart search. Ask God to search your heart to reveal any wicked way in it. Put on your confession, confess anything, and put on Christ's righteousness. And we had the sword of the Spirit last week. So we have put on a grasp on the word, hold sword to your heart. Put on the Holy Spirit to use the word. It is his sword, the sword of the Spirit. And put on basis to your prayer. Base your prayer on God's word. And finally, we learned the shield of faith. Put on winning attitude. The book tells us to claim the victory by faith. So that's put on winning attitude. It also tells us faith without work is dead. So walk the talk and just do it. So put on your steps, okay, do it. Put on the defense, okay. Quench all the darts, fiery darts from Satan by faith. Okay, and this is what we have so far. By now we have four parts of the armor. We still have two parts to go. We have the helmet, the breastplate, the sword, and the shield. And that's the spiritual armor of God. We are training our Christian soldiers here in CBC West LA. I hope by the end of mass drive training, we have many Christian soldiers, real soldiers. Just one thing from my personal experience. I'm actually very tired of hearing we are the soldiers of Christ. 我们是基督的精兵. Because many times I heard that phrase from Christians talking to me. I know they are not. They cannot even handle the basics. They don't read the Bible, they don't pray, they don't tithe, they don't serve, but they call themselves 我们是基督的精兵. So I'm very tired of hearing that phrase. I think you should be able to at least handle the basics and mostly live a Christ-centered life. Many Christians are arrogant and they are not humble enough to learn and to do the basics. I just hope through the discipleship training, our hearts will be in tune with God, and we can master the basics, and we can truly call ourselves Christian soldiers of Christ. Okay, next week's assignment, complete my walk with the Master on page 83. show God's love to someone every day this week. Okay, I put this one in red. Show God's love to someone every day this week. Okay, you'll find a way to do it. Share with someone God's word in your heart and hand. And use guidance to intercession. Memorize this verse. List the names of unsaved person. Pray for them. Learn the gospel shows, the number 5 part. And review what we previously learned. Finally, small group time. Check each other's my walk with the masters this week. Ishan, we have the forms, right? Ishan will give you the forms. You do your own evaluation. Share the names of persons you include in your relation. No witness charts. Brainstorm. Okay, this you have to do. Brainstorm reasons why God does not always answer the way we want him to do. Okay. Quote this verse and practice this and pray to conclude your group time. Okay, you are now break into small groups.